Pot Radio Network is pleased to present Encounter, a public service program here on KSIV that spotlights local Christian events and provides information and resources to enrich your lives. And now, your Encounter host, Judy Redlich.
Each day, millions of people search online for spiritual help or are open to the gospel. Did you realize that? Well, we are going to talk about an organization, Global Media Outreach, that reaches so many people each day in 13 different languages to share about Jesus. And then we're going to talk about surrendering. How does your life surrender to Jesus? Or are you so caught up in the busyness that you think, okay, I am in control of this? And how is God really a part of your day? I'm Judy Redlich. This is Encounter. My guest is Jamie Radke, and she is the Chief Growth Officer for Global Media Outreach. She's from Virginia. She lives on a farm with her husband and four children, has apple trees and different fruit trees. But she loves to share the gospel. I'm Judy Redlich. Jamie, welcome to Encounter.
Thank you so much for having me. It is a pleasure to be here.
Jamie, what is Global Media Outreach?
It's a wonderful ministry. It is a mission statement, is to give everyone on earth multiple opportunities to know Jesus. And we do that by leveraging technology, leveraging Google, leveraging social media, and we buy ads on those platforms, and as you said, in 13 different languages to share the gospel with people. And then we give them an opportunity to indicate a decision for Christ. But even more important than that is the follow-up. They can be connected with one of our thousands of volunteer online missionaries where we can disciple them, help them grow in their new faith, or if they haven't made a decision yet, where they can ask questions. And it's just been a great way to leverage, Billy Graham said, when someone asked him about radio and TV, and he said, is there anything wrong with using it? He's like, we've got to use the technology of the day. And this really, the internet is sort of like the Gutenberg printing press of 2023. Yeah. So it's been an amazing tool to be able to share the gospel worldwide and do it safely and do it securely, not have to put anybody's lives at risk, and to also do it anonymously for those that, where that's a risk, depending on what country they're in. And
how does that all work, Jamie? How do you reach that many people every day? What happens? Tell us a sequence.
Yeah, so we have different language teams around the world, Portuguese and Spanish and Indonesian and Arabic, and they are really good about creating ads that are culturally contextualized to those communities. And it's all based on felt needs. We're all asking the same questions about what is my purpose in life? Why does God allow pain and suffering? A perfect example is what's been going on with the war in Ukraine. With the war breaking out, what we have seen is people were on the internet in bunkers and in subway stations, and they had their phones. They had access to the internet because of Elon Musk's satellite in the sky. And we were able to talk to people in bunkers to answer those questions of, am I safe? What happens when I die? What happens? Why does God allow pain and suffering? And be able to engage with them in those conversations and tell them that there is a God that loves them, even in the midst of war and strife. And so that's really what it is it's finding what issues are people hung up on, what issues are they struggling with, and then talking to them about those particular issues and really catering to their needs of where they are in their life.
And having people on the ground in those languages, those 13 different languages, to people who speak those languages.
Yes.
So it's not just a English thing or a Spanish thing, but 13 different languages. Wow, Matthew 28:19 really comes alive. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. Wow, Matthew 28:19-20. So, Jamie, how, if someone would like to volunteer, what would a volunteer go through to get trained to do this? Or do you train volunteers? How do you do that?
We do. We will be starting a huge recruitment process the end of the spring, early summer. You can go to globalmediaoutreach.com, and we will have an application process there. We first ask you to share your testimony, that we know that you have a personal relationship with Christ, and we review those applications. And then there's really a two-part process. One is the process of how do you do digital discipleship. It's different because we communicate with people on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, WhatsApp, Facebook Messenger. And so how you communicate in email versus how you communicate in a Twitter direct message is very different. So we talk about digital discipleship. And then we also train them on the tools. So there's the technology aspect, and then there's the theology. And it's a great opportunity, whether you have 5 hours or 20 hours to give each week. Most people, we see a lot of elderly people who think, oh, I can't do anything. I can't go on missions trips. I'm not physically able to get around. But you can do this right from your home, and you can literally be speaking to people around the world and sharing the hope of the gospel right from your own your home. So it's a powerful way to stay active in fulfilling the Great Commission, regardless of your situation.
And where can people go to find out more?
They can go to globalmediaoutreach.com.
Jamie, tell us a little bit about you and your family and just the journey of how you got to Global Media Outreach.
Yeah, that's a great question. So I grew up in a military household. I grew up where my dad is not a believer, and my mother is. And I was always, dinner times were really interesting. I was always asked tough questions about, so you just happened, out of all the religions you could have been born into, you would happen to be born in a religion where we believe Christianity. Or I was always asked these tough questions. And so it always had me thinking from a young age. I went into the political arena. I was in politics for 25 years, and that culminated in me running for the U.S. Senate in 2012. And what I found there is that young people had the same types of questions. Even on the campaign trail, they were asking, what is my purpose? Who are my people? Why does God allow pain and suffering? And so this idea in politics of where you micro-target audiences based on issues they care about, you know, do you care about life? Do you care about taxes? And you mobilize them to poll on election day. I started to think, like, what if we could do that for the gospel? Like, what if we could figure out the questions that people are struggling with spiritually, leverage technology like we do in politics, talk to them about those issues, and not mobilize them to polls on election day, but mobilize them into churches and faith communities? And I quickly partnered with a gentleman who had started Explore God, exploregod.com, that was doing the exact same thing. And so this journey of being able to ask spiritual questions and being ready to give a quick defense of our faith has been something that's been a part of my journey from a very young age. And people are hungry. We are seeing that people are hungry in this world and even in the U.S. And they're asking questions, and you know where they go. I mean, they spend 8 hours a day on the internet, and everybody has a smartphone, and the first place they go is not into the door of a church. The first place they go to is Google or social media. And so we want to be there with the truth of the gospel when they're searching.
And how the internet has exponentially increased the ability to share the gospel with people worldwide. How many people have you been able to share the gospel with since you started your endeavor?
Well, since Global Media Outreach was started in 2004, we've shared the gospel over 2 billion times.
How do you keep the, what warrants that statistic? How can you measure it?
Yeah, so we direct people to gospel landing pages, and if they get all the way to the bottom of the page, read the entire page, or they watch the entire video, then we count that as a gospel presentation, and then we have an opportunity for them to indicate a decision and then to give us their contact information if they'd like to be connected one-on-one with a volunteer online missionary. So we, on an annual basis, we are getting anywhere from 1.1 to 1.5 million contacts every year of people who want follow-up engagement to learn more about who Jesus is and what he can mean in their life. And so really the internet has really opened the doors, because not only are we able to reach people for, we do this for less than 10 cents a person, to share the gospel for less than 10 cents. But it's also, there's the safety issue. We live in a very volatile and unsafe world. And so our ability to talk to an Arabic Muslim woman in Libya and not have to put her life at risk, or to talk to a teenager in the U.S. who's struggling with suicidal ideation, is very powerful, because you can come to them right on their phones.
Wow. That many people since 2004, and how you measure the stats on that, that's amazing. So, stories. My audience always knows that I love my guests to share a story of how God showed up.
Yes. Well, God has shown up in my life in many different ways. One has just been this ministry. When I ran for U.S. Senate back in 2012, and I thought the purpose of running for U.S. Senate was to win the race. And what I didn't see God doing was bringing people into my life that I was able to share the gospel with. We had people come to faith on my campaign. We had people getting baptized. And I didn't end up winning the race, but what it ended up doing is God planted the seed of, if you could leverage technology to, you know, do an election, what could you do? What was possible for the gospel? And so all the donors and the supporters I had from my Senate race were people who helped launch this ministry back in 2012 and in 2013. And so it's been interesting to see how what we think are detours are often the paths God always intended us to be on in the beginning.
And we're going to talk more about those detours in our lives in the next segment. Would you join me for another segment, Jamie?
I would love to.
I'm Judy Redlich. This is Encounter. We're talking with Jamie Radke, who is the Chief Growth Officer at Global Media Outreach. Again, that website, if people want to get involved or learn more.
GlobalMediaOutreach.com.
GlobalMediaOutreach.com. Hey, I'm Judy Redlich. We'll be back after this break. If you've listened to me at any time at all, or you've been friends with me, you know that I love to help people tell their story. Another thing I enjoy doing is helping people find their highest potential. If you're in a life's rut and you just can't figure out how to get past your stuck place, a life coach like me could help. Let me walk with you through your journey of transition. I'm a Christian life coach, and to find out more about my coaching, go to my coaching page at judyredlich.com or email me at jredlichspeaks@gmail.com. You're listening to Encounter. I'm Judy Redlich. Jamie Radke is my guest. She is the Chief Growth Officer for Global Ministry Outreach, a ministry that reaches millions of people a year for Christ. Before the break, Jamie, you talked about detours in your life. And how many of you feel like God's got you on a detour and you're wondering, what is my real purpose now as a Christian? And where do I stand, and why am I on this detour in my life and feeling like I don't have a purpose and I don't have direction and I don't know why God's got me here?
Yes. Well, my word for the year, we try to pick a word out each year in our family individually, and my word for the year has been surrender. One of those easy words to do, Judy.
Us women who are so controlling, a lot of times we run our family, we run our household, we run the ministries we do or the business that we do. And yes, so talk about surrender.
Well, one of the things that God's really been showing me is that, number one, that God's sovereignty demands surrender. God can't be sovereign in your life if you're trying to control your life for yourself. And so in order for God to be sovereign in your life, you really have to be surrendered to him. And that there's actual strength and clarity in surrendering. And a lot of people think, well, how can there be clarity? Because he hasn't answered all my questions and he hasn't told me what to do and I can't control it. But the clarity is knowing that our purpose is greater than ourselves. And the clarity comes in knowing that we're focused on God and what God's trying to accomplish versus our own problems. And one of the things that's been sort of the aha moment for me is that if I'm trying to control things, which we always are trying to do, we are actually human, but if we're trying to control things, it means that we're responsible for the outcome because we're in charge, we're in control. But if we surrender, that means the only thing we're responsible is for our actions. And I have found that incredibly liberating as a businesswoman, as a mom, as a wife, as a caretaker of the elderly, as someone who's adopted a foster adopted child, that I'm not responsible for the outcome if I'm surrendered to God. I'm only accountable for my actions. So that has been something that I'm really trying to hold tight to this year.
What are the points of surrendering that you have seen God put in your life to help you realize that surrender is so important and what it really means?
Well, one of the things is we were talking about in the earlier segment is that God is even sovereign in the detours. And that's been really a powerful message for me. Sometimes detours are for correction. Sometimes they're for refinement. But they're always for God's glory, regardless. And I have seen that in my life. If you had told me that, I spent 20 years in politics and then I would be in digital evangelism, that was a detour I didn't see coming. If you would have told me I'd be an adopted parent, I didn't see that detour coming. If you had told me I'd be taking care of my mother-in-law lives with me for 8 years, I didn't see that coming. But what I've seen in the detours has been my growth, and it has helped me understand that really I don't have to be responsible for the outcome. And so that's been very liberating for me to embrace detours. Because we often want to fight the detours that God has in our life. That's the natural response, is to try to get us back on the road we think God wants us on, and not realizing that this detour was part of God's sovereign plan.
You know, isn't that true? I know I'm on a big detour right now because I have cancer. And a lot of you all who listen to my show every week don't know that, but it is a challenge. And I'm every day having to say, okay, God, how do I get through this? And God is helping me through this, and I'm learning more about who he is and what his word says and how I can depend on God's word even in the midst of the challenges. And I am finding that every time I go to the doctor, I get a chance to witness to someone or two or three or four. And it's like, God, I have hope. And so many people out there who have cancer don't have that hope that I have found in Jesus Christ. And so sometimes it's a real joy because I get to share the gospel. Sometimes it's a real pain because I am taking some chemo as well. And that's a real pain. And if you're taking chemo and in that challenge, you know what I'm talking about. But as we look at it, as we are building blocks in our own lives and we are on a detour, what does God have in store and why are we going through these things? Jamie, what have you learned as you've been going through the detour? What are some steps that you can give those of us who are in detours to get us through?
Well, one thing that I've learned is to trust God's promises and not trust what I see. And that's been really important because it's really easy to get overwhelmed by your circumstances or by the stress or by just life, right? And really trusting on his promises. One of the verses that's been forefront on my mind is Psalms 46:10, where it says, "Be still and know that I am God." And as I was researching that a little bit more, they were saying that it's actually be still makes it sound so calm, and but it's really God
saying, easy to go through, right?
Right. Like go meditate and be still. But it's really God saying, stop it. Just cut it out. Cease striving is what it is, another translation. Cease striving and know that I am God. And he talks about that if you do that, that there's basically four things that will happen if we're still and know that he's God. He'll be a shelter. He'll be a safe place for us. He'll be our strength, which we all need, that he will help us in our times of trial to make things easier, and that he'll be with us. And so that's very liberating. I have really leaned into this idea that I don't have to be in control of the outcome. I am in control of my actions and the journey I'm on. Mm. And that's sort of what you were just sharing too, right? With your cancers.
Like right.
It's how are you going to let God use you in the journey? You're not responsible for the outcome. And I think that's very liberating when we can surrender that way.
Well, and I think as we ask him to use us, he liberates us by showing us ideas. You know, even if it's in a split second and you see someone right next to you and you go, hey, how are you doing today? Mm. And they start talking and you say, you know what? Jesus loves you. He loves you for who you are, and he wants to be first in your life. And he can handle those detours that you're going through in your life. And just asking for ways to serve in the midst of the detour. And that gives me joy as God opens up the ways for me to serve. It is liberating, isn't it? And that's all in Psalm 46, isn't it? Those 4 points.
It is. It is. And, you know, I guess my life verse has been 1 John 3:18 that says, love not in word or tongue, but in deed and in truth. And really learning to love well in whatever circumstances God has us in. Because that's what he says it is, right? The greatest commandment is to love him with all your heart and soul and to love others. And so how do we love well?
Yeah, how do we love well?
Yeah.
How do we love well? So what are some prayer paths that we could use to see God's glory in the detours and to go through these? What are some ways that we can pray that you would recommend?
Well, there's a couple of things that I've done, which is, first of all, to really be broken by what I see, the people that God's put me in front of or the circumstances, is really wanting to be sensitive to what I see happening around me. The second thing is making sure that there's not sin in my life. Praying and saying, am I on this detour because of sin, right? I mean, certainly the Israelites wandered for 40 years because of sin. And so is there sin in my life I need to confess? And I think that that is really important. I think the other thing to pray is to pray God's promises. There's something very powerful about what we tell ourselves, the messages we're feeding ourselves. And we often have a lot of negative self-talk as women.
We do.
And it's not what God calls us to. He calls us to live in his promises. And so really leaning on those and then really praying for who you can love. Because what I have found and what I've been most encouraged about is that when I can take my eyes off my own circumstances and that like magnifying glass of my daily life, and I can get the aerial view from the plane of what God's really doing and keep my eyes on him, my whole perspective changes and all my actions and all my motives change. And so constantly, not just once a month, not just once a day, but like multiple times a day, asking myself, what is God trying to do now versus keeping the focus on myself? And that's really been my prayer these last few months.
Those are really valuable insights. Jamie Radke is my guest. She is the Chief Growth Officer, and that is of Global Media Outreach. She is from Virginia. She and her husband and 4 children live on a farm. Can you believe it? She gets to watch her fruit trees grow and see how God uses their growth as examples in her life and can share those examples with others. Yeah, I have found that too, is that keeping our eyes off ourselves helps us to see the greater picture, the bigger picture of who God is, not only in our own lives, but how he can change other people's lives through our actions and our reactions. And even in our families and leaving a legacy, even though we might be going on detours, God can use the strengths that we are finding in Him to speak to those people in our families and our relatives about who He is, not only in our lives, but who He can be in their lives as they look to Him. That's what I'm praying about my legacy. So, Jamie, we only have a couple of minutes left. Give us a little bit of a summary of global media outreach. Again, just a few sentences, and then how people can get more involved, and just any other little tidbits that you'd like to share.
Well, you can go to globalmediaoutreach.com to learn more. If you want to be a part of a movement of what God is doing to leverage technology to share the gospel, and you want to have the opportunity right from your home, either through financially or through volunteering, to be able to connect to people and to answer their spiritual questions and lead them to a relationship of Jesus where they're surrendered to a sovereign God, then I encourage you to look at Global Media Outreach so we can give everyone on earth multiple opportunities to know Jesus.
Don't forget, Matthew 28:19-20 should be that opportunity we look for every day, every hour, every minute, every second. GlobalMediaOutreach.com. Jamie Radke has been my guest. I'm Judy Redlich. This is Encounter. Thanks for joining me today. Tell a friend about Encounter, won't you? And join me next time. I'm Judy Redlich.
This has been Encounter with Judy Redlich, informing listeners on local Christian events and matters that affect your lives. Spread the word and invite people to listen to Encounter on KSIV or online at botradionetwork.com.
Okay, sweetheart, I've turned on the nightlight, and here's Teddy.
Grandma, I love it when you tuck me in. You're my best friend. Don't ever leave me. I love you.
Electronic Caregiver helps seniors maintain independence and safety at home with their medical alert system. The Smart Wristband provides telehealth, medication reminders, and personalized messages. If an emergency occurs, loved ones can call for help by pushing the button. More information from Cheryl Wilson at 314-312-0034.
Check out more of Judy's interviews at judyredlich.com. That's JUDYREDLICH.com. Or email her at judyredlichspeaks@gmail.com. Friend her on Facebook, connect with her on LinkedIn. Encounter, hosted by Judy Redlich, was produced and first aired on KSIV Radio, part of their Bot Radio Network.